Psalms 37, verses 1 through 4. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 4. Do not fret. That ought to stir you up already, right there. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for you. And Father, I just pray right now that you would just enable us, Lord, enable us to focus on the Word of God, Father. Your Word is the most precious thing that we have with us. Well, we can hold on to your Word, we can read it, we can speak it. And every time we hear your Word, you're speaking to us, Father. You speak always, so you're always telling us something. We just have to read it and embrace it, oh God. Speak to us this morning. I pray that this truth will just impact us today and free somebody up this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to, this morning, welcome Pastor Roger. Your mother is here. Where is she? This is Pastor Roger's mother. Amen. And it gets better. This is her new husband as of yesterday. Would you stand? Amen. Look at that. Look at that. Amen. They got married here in the chapel, and prime time was the singing. I was singing to the ministry. You were there. Amen. How many prime times went to the wedding? Amen. Praise the Lord. And Pastor Roger performed the ceremony. Praise the Lord. Amen. So welcome. They're on the way to Florida. They're snowbirds from Michigan. Amen. But we welcome them here this morning. Amen. So when I was young, I wanted a pet. And I thought I wanted a hamster. That's a great way to start with pets. And my mother was hesitant because she said, a hamster's just a rat. And we had them all over New York. And she couldn't imagine why I wanted a rat as a pet. So, but I had seen them at the Five and Dime store, Woolworths. How many of you remember Woolworths? Wow. I used to go to Woolworths all the time. Did your Woolworths have like a cafe, like an eating area? You did? Okay, yeah, mine. And did you, my grandmother would take me there once a week, and they had balloons. They had balloons across the entire counter. And when you wanted to buy a banana split, the banana splits were between a penny and 99 cents. You pick a random balloon, and whatever price was in it, you pay that. Did you ever do that, anyone? East Coast, right? Long Island? Okay. So it was the East Coast. And every so often, I would pick the balloon that had the penny. And we'll pay a penny for the Sunday. That had nothing to do with my sermon. But what I would go there, look at the animals, they had the parakeets and they had the fish and they had hamsters. So I wanted a hamster, so I went to a friend's house. He had a hamster. And I went to spy out the land. And so the hamster was inside a cage, did not have free run of the house. So he was captive. And then I never realized this, but inside the cage was a wheel. And the hamster wanted to get out of the cage, so the hamster would climb on the wheel and run. And the wheel would spin and spin, and the hamster would run, and go nowhere. And the hamster would run until he flopped and will step off and then get back on it again and run and run and spin that wheel trying to escape the cage and go nowhere. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not fret. That word fret, I did a research. It's not don't worry. It's more than that. Don't just be anxious. The word fret there means constant worry, constant anxiety. In other words, like a hamster and a wheel, constantly running and running and running, trying to escape that cage and going nowhere. Don't do that. Don't fret. Because when you fret, the word fret there says doing something, a constant anxiety, a constant worry that wears you out. Don't do that. You're wearing yourself out and you're blaming the devil and you're the one in the wheel running nonstop, wearing yourself out with worry and anxieties, fretting. Or some of you are gifted in fretting. I mean, you, I'm being sarcastic. Every time we greet you, you're fretting. How was it? Oh, it was okay. The sun came out. The sun came out, it was warm, but it may not last too long. It's become a lifestyle. And you wonder why you're always tired. You're always wasted. You're fretting. And David, when he wrote this, he was saying, do not fret. Stop that. Oh, David understood fretting. He fretted. He worried about evildoers, the people that just evildoers that were brazen and prideful. Not just brazen and willing to do, but pride. They do pride parades. They're brazen in your face, brazen. He fretted about that. He would be up all night with fear and anxieties. They seem never to end. Have you ever been up all night worrying about something? Am I the only one that worries? Up all night and you cannot sleep, fretting and fretting, rehashing and rehearsing those things that those evildoers, those that person that did that person that made that decision. David was as the king of Israel. The kingdom of Israel always had issues. There was always evildoers and problems within the kingdom and without the kingdom. So there was always a reason to fret. And I'm sure David came to a point that he felt he had to do something. And up all night, I know that pastors, we face this, and not all pastors admit it. And I realize that, but I'm different. I just tell people what I'm going through. A lot of times I'd have a lot of pastor friends, but only a few of them are really honest. You know, when I ask them, how are you guys doing? Oh, I'm doing great. We're doing great. We're doing great. They throw numbers at you. They throw statistics at offering amounts. And I'm thinking, you're not, come on. If you're pastoring normal people, if you're pastoring sheep can bite. Sheep bite. That's what I hear. They bite. You don't, but other sheep here bite. Sheep bite, and sheep are smelly. They don't. It's not like cats. They lick themselves clean. Sheep are smelly because they get caught up in stuff, and they get tangled. They bite and they're smelly, and they do the dumbest decision. So a shepherd worries. And I haven't met too many pastors. They just admit it. Oh, everything's wonderful. But David was shepherding or pastoring this kingdom with issues. And I know as pastors, we worry. We have insomnia. fretting attacks and dealing with people who are rebellious and unforgiving. That's the one that had bothered me the most. Christians that won't forgive. They boycott. They won't let it go. They won't forgive. They won't forgive somebody, but then when they blow it, they want to be forgiven, but they won't forgive somebody else. And I fret about that. And I fret about hidden sin when I know someone's not living right and they're brazen about it. But David, he realized that he had a tendency to fret, but he learned how to manage his tendency to fret. He learned how to manage it. He determined not to wear himself out with fretting. He determined to keep it in check. Otherwise, he realized that if he continued to fret, he would drop dead. You know, pastors, I tell young pastors, don't let it go. Stop fretting. You're going to drop dead. Pastors quit the ministry in droves. On Monday, they tend to quit on Mondays. They quit in droves because they fret. But David understood how to manage his fretting, that constant worry that wears you out. And he made several conclusions that kept him from fretting that is applicable to us today. And they're found here in Psalms 37 when it says, do not fret. So I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3. And these are principles to help us because we all fret. We all, not just worry, we all get, you know what fretting is, you and I, we were built by God to have this capacity of focusing on one thing and with everything we got. You and I have, in the spiritual realm, like a big telescope. The top you see, and they study the stars, and they could focus. We have a big telescope, and that telescope can focus on something really tight and magnify. We could take that telescope and look at one little star and magnify it. And God has built this in you so you can focus on Him. Focus on Him. But every once in a while, we take that telescope and we move it and we start focus on something else. Instead of focusing on God, we focus on a worry. And once you focus on something like that, you get stuck. The gear gets stuck. And then you can't stop from fretting. You can't stop from worrying. But David understood that when that happens, there's a way to adjust it. There's a way for you to adjust that telescope and focus on God and get you back on track. Because if you focus on anything else, it'll wear you out. But when you focus on God, it will build you up. It'll strengthen you. So David had to learn that as he led the nation of Israel. So here's the 1, 2, 3. Lessons, conclusions, principles that David learned. Number one. Remember, he was worrying about not just stuff, worrying about evildoers. Right. Troublemakers. Number one. Evildoers have an expiration date. Oh, you like that one. It doesn't mean Lord, kill them. I'm not saying that. Lord, kill them. I'm not saying that. But evildoers have an expiration date. Time will run out for them. Listen to me. Evildoers, eternity is not their inheritance. Eternity is not their inheritance. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 and then jump to verse 10. Do not worry, fret. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Look at them flaunting their sin, parading their sin. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 10. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Twice. No more. no more. Those evildoers that seem to be indestructible, God is saying there'll be a time there will be no more, no more, no more. You are going to outlast those evildoers. Hallelujah, because eternity is not their inheritance. Eternity is your inheritance. So you're going to outlive them, outsource them, outperform them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, don't designate immortal status to evildoers and enemies. Don't designate them as immortal. They'll never die. They'll never leave. They'll never go away. Don't do that. Remember that the only thing that will last for eternity is the word of God. Remember that God's word will outlast your enemies' words and their threats. Your evildoers might threaten you, but God's word will outlast their words. For his word is forever settled in heaven. Oh, Pastor Cortez, but you don't know the type of person he is. It doesn't matter if that person engraved those threats in granite. It doesn't matter. God's word will outlast the granite that those words were engraved upon. For his word never returns void. That means it doesn't run out of steam. His word will make it to the destination it was meant. It will make it to that target. Hallelujah. Because the bottom line is this. God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Or the devil, he'll try to keep his promises. But God's promises will outlast and trump the enemy's promises. Hallelujah. Perhaps someone has said some hurtful words to you. Perhaps you were a child raised in an abusive background and you had an adult or a parent abuse you with words. Never hit you, never hurt you physically, but hurt you with words and said you're stupid. You'll never come up to anything. You're not like your sister. You're not like your brother. You were an accident. And you have parents or adults or a teacher that hurt you. And those words have lingered. You're an adult. Maybe you have a career. You've been to college and you look successful. But those words seem to haunt you. I'm here to tell you that God's word will outlast their words. God's word will cancel out those words. Hallelujah. So evildoers and their words have an expiration date. That's good to know. Number two. Keep busy enjoying God. Yes, we're in the middle of a vicious spiritual warfare. If you live on earth and serving the Lord, you will be in a continual spiritual battle. And that battle is real. It's outside your front door, sometimes inside your own home. As long as we live on earth, we will experience persecution and hardship and trials. Oh, Pastor Cortez, you need to preach like those other people that preach that nothing, that it's wonderful and you're wealthy and things. If you really love Jesus, you have money in your pocket and you'll never have trouble and you have peace, peace, peace. And listen, that's not in the gospel. Jesus didn't preach that. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But you will experience difficulty. Hey, folks, this is not heaven on earth. That's why this is not our home. You will have difficulty and challenges. Yes, God will bless you and prosper you, but prosperity means whatever you need for your assignment. If that prosperity gospel that we've heard the past 20 years works, then 90% of the Christians on earth, because it's not just an American thing, 90% of the Christians on earth are out of the will of God because they don't have money. They don't have a credit card. They're not driving a BMW. Oh, but they, you know what? I found out as I've traveled to places where Christians are poor financially, that they were more rich than I was. They were prosperous because they had the joy of the Lord. They had peace in their hearts. They were more prosperous than I was. They understood what Jesus meant about the joy and prosperity and peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. So, second point, keep busy enjoying God, even though you're in a battle. But remember this. I know that we're in a battle, but remember this. To God, from God's perspective, our primary calling, listen carefully, our primary calling is not to be warriors. Oh, but we do not wrestle against the flesh. No weapon formed against me. You know, the devil is attacking. Be sober, be diligent. For the enemy is like a lion, seeking who he can destroy. I mean, the Bible is filled with fight, 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 and warrior. The armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, blah, 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 the sword of the spirit. I mean, it's filled with pictures and analogies and exhortations to fight, 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 fight. The violence shall take it by force. Yes, all those things are in the Bible. But your primary assignment on earth is not to be a warrior. Your primary assignment on earth is to be a worshiper. You are a worshiper first. Then you are a warrior second. Because you have to spend time at the feet of Jesus before you spend time in the confronting the face of Satan. A worshiper. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's our number one assignment. Then you could go out and fight. David understood this one. He would go and seek God in caves and worship the Lord before he fought. He was a worshiper first. Then he was a warrior. Hallelujah. And this is why that is so important for us to understand. When you face life, when you fight demonic things on earth, when you deal with the real world, you deal with it from the inside out. All right. Listen carefully. From the inside out. What happens is if you try to fight from the outside in, you're going to wear yourself out. Right. The enemy wants you to fight first and then worship second. Because he knows that if you fight first, he'll wear you out and you won't want to worship. He knows that. If he could get you out of the prayer closet, if he could keep you away from the altar and to fight, to sign up for this and sign up for that, to be busy doing this and doing that, he knows that you'll get a temporary adrenaline rush. You think it's the anointing, but it's just a rush. And then he'll come. When the rush comes down, he'll attack you. He'll drop kick you. And you wonder why. And the enemy says, because I pulled you away from the main thing.
That's right.
And you're relying on your own resources, your own energy, your own strength. And I played with you because I knew you liked to fight. And I got you out. And I did the rope-a-dope. And let you wear out. Then I gave you an uppercut and a roundhouse. And I got you down. You wonder why it happened. Because I got you away from the altar. Because I made you think that your main assignment is to be a warrior. And that's not God. God said your main assignment is to be a worshiper. So how do you do that? You deal with life from the inside out. You feed your spirit first. You feed your spirit first.
Thank you, Lord.
Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed your spirit first. Let me read that. Let me read that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me read that verse 3 and 4. Psalms 37, 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord. That means choice. Choice. You trust. It's a choice. It's not a mood thing. Choice. I choose to trust God. And do good. What does that mean? Keep serving Jesus. Keep serving Jesus. Dwell in the land. Well, what does that mean, dwell in the land? It means unpack. Unpack and live for God. Stop living out of suitcases. Unpack. Stop living like, well, you know, this may not last. So I'll just live out of suitcases. Stop doing that. When I used to travel for a living, I learned that even if I was in a hotel room for a couple of days, I would unpack everything, hang stuff. I would bring a little picture, bring little things to make my hotel room felt like home. Because when it felt like just a hotel room, then I was never settled. But I wanted to be settled so I could do my assignment while I was in that town. And God is saying, unpack, get settled. Then you can focus on your assignment. Dwell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. You mean God will feed me? No, you feed yourself. You feed yourself. Feed on his faithfulness as opposed to the track record, the works of the evildoers and their activities and their momentum. Stop feeding someone else. Feed yourself. Feed inside. Feed your inside so you can deal with the outside. Feed your spirit with the word of God. Pray in the spirit and build yourself up as you pray in the spirit. Build yourself up before you deal with the outside. Hallelujah. You feed yourself in worship at the feet of Jesus. You dine with Jesus before you deal with the bozos outside the door. Spending time with Jesus. And quite frankly, the reason that we, including myself, we go into fret cycles like a hamster is because we're not feeding ourselves. We're burning calories and we're not feeding ourselves and we wonder why. And the Lord said, when was the last time you listened to me? When was the last time you sat at my, when was the last time you fed yourself with the word of God? Not really with one eye. Oh, I got to do my devotional. I got to do my reading. Three chapters. Oh man, it's the Numbers. That's a boring chapter. Let me just read it quickly. When was the last time you read it with two eyes? I said, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me to your word. Feed my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feed yourself before you deal with the outside. Build up the inside first. And then, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. In other words, just enjoy God. Enjoy, don't feel guilty for enjoying God. Enjoy God. Yes, you will have people outside, enemies, yes. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Because when you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, his desires become your desires. Thank you, Lord. Whatever he wants, you want. And whatever you want now, which is really what he wants, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Hallelujah. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. So don't miss out on rather than being stuck in a constant fretting, choose to be stuck in a good way in constant worship. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And the word pray, we dichotomize. We have praise and worship and prayer. Okay, we're doing praise. Fast songs, worship, slow songs, and now strum. You know, we're going to do the Word of God. You know, in America, we've done this, but in the Bible, it's all the same. You cannot pray without prayer. You cannot pray without praise, without worship. It's all combined. It's all combined. It's all working together. So when the Bible says pray without ceasing, it's talking about your prayer, talking about worship, talking about praise, talking about focusing on Him, dwelling, feeding yourself. You cannot, in the Bible, when they prayed, they would pray with the Bible open. My grandmother, who's a prayer warrior, she always prayed with the Bible open. She said, how can you pray and then you listen to God and you read the Word of God. God speaks to you and then you pray. It's all combined. And she would sing coritos, Spanish choruses, and then she would praise and she would pray and read the Bible. It's all one experience. She was always building herself up. Feed yourself, because let me deal with this here. It's in verse 3, it says here, and feed on his faithfulness, as opposed to looking at the track record of the enemy. This is what happens. Okay, I'm going to deal with something here. Social media. How many of you are involved in social media? Admit it. Now, you're giving me the half-mastics. You know I'm going to... Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Here's the danger. And this is just the studies are coming out now. That people are experiencing more depression, more anxiety, more mental disorders because they're always studying someone else's life. Yours comparing your life with somebody else. Oh, look at what they're driving. Look at what I'm driving. They're always posting their vacations, their new houses, their successes, and you're comparing your life with their life. And then many of them are not even serving the Lord. They used to serve the Lord. They're not serving the Lord, and they're flaunting it. Look how sin rewards you. Look how I'm dressed. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm drinking. And you're thinking, Lord, how come you haven't struck them dead? Here I am coming to church. Coming to church, serving you, and here they are flaunting their sin like it's nothing, focusing on the works of the evildoers and the wicked, verse 1 and verse 2. And then you can't pray because it's just bothering you. I can't believe he divorced her to marry that other person. I can't believe. Look, what about those kids? What about the kids? And you're worried, you're getting all worked up. And you're getting stuck in a fretting cycle. Okay, I know I'm a tramp. One of the most wonderful things that my wife and I have done is when we go on vacation, we take time off, we deactivate Facebook. Oh, we can't find you. I had someone text me. We can't find you. We look at Facebook. We can't find you. I said, you because I deactivated it. I don't want you to find me. I don't want to report to you everything I did every day. Because then you're going to give me your opinion. You did that? That's not the color I would have picked. And I don't want your opinion. I want his opinion. But what happens is, when you're feeding on someone else's input, how many likes? It's been 10 minutes. How many likes? I got 52 likes in 10 minutes. Oh, man. I need at least. Let me look again. Excuse me, Pastor. I'm looking. I'm checking. I'm listening to you in one ear, but I'm checking my profile right now. See if I got more likes. You're feeding on something, and a lot of times you're trying to keep up with people that you know are not living right. You know that, and it just eats you up. And the Lord said, you're feeding on the wrong thing. Amen. Feed on my faithfulness. Hallelujah. Feed on my faithfulness. You don't have to feed on someone else's. You know, there was a time that I didn't know what everyone was doing. I didn't know what my friends in New York City were doing. You know, once in a while I make a phone call. Hey, what's happening? Oh, such and such, this and such, such, did that, the movie, they did that. Okay, fine. But now I could get on and find out within seconds what they're doing. And I find myself living my life internationally, but not in Katy. Living, keeping up with everybody else except me. In my life, and I was feeding on everything else. And God said, you know why you're fretting? You know why you're fretting? You know why you're like a hamster? Because you're feeding on everything else and not feeding on my faithfulness. Feed on my faithfulness. Sit at my feet and worship me at their feet. Don't worry about Martha. Don't worry about Martha. She wants to do her own thing. Let her do her own. You sit at my feet. You enjoy me. And you cannot enjoy God and keep up with everybody else. You can't do that. You cannot do that. Enjoy God, folks. Enjoy Him. When was the last time, seriously, when was the last time you took time, you took a half a day, or you took an hour, or whatever, and you simply, like, got off the grid, got your Bible, got some worship music going on, and said, Lord, I just want to revel in you. You don't even have to speak. I just want to revel in your presence. When was the last time you just chilled out in the presence of God? When was the last time you used to do it? I mean, you can amen me, saying, yeah, that's wonderful to sit in the feet of God. When was the last time you did that? Have you done that this past week? This big spring break. Okay, so spring trumps God. When was the last time? And why am I so tired? Because you haven't sat at the feet of Jesus. Enjoy God. Oh, I have all these enemies, these evildoers, these things out there. You know, I have to face that work. I have to face this family reunion. I got to face these things. And God is saying, okay, they're still going to be there. Enjoy. Have you ever been on a vacation and you're in this great location and you're busy worrying? Maybe your spouse says, just enjoy it. Just enjoy the event. You spend money. Enjoy the event. Don't worry. Those things will still be home when you get back to Katy. So enjoy the moment. For me, that's hard to do. But I've had to learn, you know what? Lord, I'm going to enjoy not just the moment. I'm going to enjoy the master of the moment. I'm going to enjoy the master of the moment. And enjoy you and not feel guilty about it. Just enjoy you. Because as I feed the inside, I'm able to handle the outside. Because I cannot, not just because I'm a pastor, but each and every one of you cannot be a blessing to other people and give if you don't feed the inside. You can't do that. You become dangerous to yourself and to the person you're trying to counsel. Because now you're feeding on your own energy. Feed yourself. Feed on God's faithfulness. When you feed on God's faithfulness, and enjoy God, that's how you keep that fretting from taking over. Has this been helpful? Hallelujah. Listen, can I be honest? I'm preaching to myself. Okay, I'm preaching to myself. Because I could fret. I get stuck in that fretting cycle. I'm like a hamster. You know, all three legs. Let me worry about it one more time. And you wonder why you can't worship the Lord at this. Okay, number three. Don't blow your stack. Probably one of the most difficult disciplines David had to learn was not blowing his stack. David was a warrior. David was not a wimp. He was willing to fight. He was more of a warrior than his own brothers. When he was yet a teenager, and Goliath was intimidating all the Israelites with the Philistines, and the brothers who were older, they were the professional warriors. Wouldn't fight Goliath. King Saul wouldn't fight Goliath. But because David was wired to be a warrior, he said, I'll fight him. In fact, I'm a warrior. I mean, I defeated the lion's paw and the bear's paw. I fought lions, I fought bears. I have a track record. I'm 3-0 right now, and I'll fight the Goliath. I'll do that. I'll fight him. I know I'm not as big as my big brother, and I'm not as big as King Saul, but I'll fight him. I'm not going to let him mess with us. So David was a fighter. He was a warrior. But David, he had to learn the discipline of not fighting every fight. He had to learn, but sometimes when you are a fighter, you like to fight. The danger is that you, the thing that suffers most is that you are not a worshiper. David was a worshiper, but he wanted to fight first. He wanted to fight. He was, that was his default status was to fight. And so therefore, learning the discipline of not fighting every battle, of being a worshiper more than a warrior, was probably one of the most difficult disciplines David had to learn. Hallelujah. But he soon learned, he had to learn, that there are certain battles that we must allow God to fight. I said, sometimes there's battles that we fight, we feed ourselves and we fight, but there are certain battles that God said, you feed yourself and stay inside, I'll fight that battle. And you need to be in the presence of God to differentiate, is this a battle you want me to fight, or is this a battle, God, you're going to fight? David showed that in the scriptures. There was battles that he would fight, and the Lord said, and he would tell the Lord, should I fight? The Lord said, go fight. And then he would fight, and then the same enemy would come in the same way, and he didn't assume that he had a paradigm already, because it was the same battle, same enemy. He would go back to God and say, God, should I fight the enemy again? And God said, no, this time I'll fight. Or this time, go around the back, do it differently. He always sought God to inquire, should I fight this battle, and so how? Oh, you want me to leave it alone? You handle it? I'll hands off. He had, because David was the type of person, Lord, they're messing with you now, man. I'll mess with them. Where's my sling? Where's my sling? He could have done that because that was his nature. He had to learn not to blow his stack. But he had to learn the certain battles that God fights. And he had to learn that it is wise not to engage in every battle of evildoers, because that will wear you out, even worse than fretting. Look at verse 7 and 8. Musicians, would you come? Rest in the Lord. That phrase, rest in the Lord, in the New International Version, the NIV version, it says, be still before the Lord. I want to fight. I want to fight. Be still before the Lord. And wait patiently for what? For him. Wait for him. So when is him coming? You just wait for him. Waiting before the Lord is the ultimate act of worship. When you're waiting for him, and there's a timeline, and we all can do that. Well, I'll wait. God told me wait 66 minutes. I can wait 66 minutes. But when God says wait, and he says, how long is it going to take? I'll let you know when. At that point, he's asking you to trust him or to worship him. Wait on the Lord. Verse 7 continues, do not, there he goes again, do not fret. Same word from verse 1, do not fret, constant, the hamster thing. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't fret. Don't get off social media if it's making you lose your joy. Don't fret. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Well, you know, there's righteous indignation. There's certain times that it's okay to get angry. You get angry at sin. You get angry at the devil. When the devil messes with your kids, you get angry. Yes, there's certain things. But there's a fine line between anger that is wonderful before God and anger that is horrible. That's what the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Because there's an anger that is toxic. And here he's talking about that anger that could be toxic. Cease from toxic anger and forsake wrath. There goes that word again, do not fret. That's like three times there in the first seven verses. Do not fret. It only causes harm. To who? To you. can't sleep. You have ulcers. Your hair's falling. You can't eat. You're grumpy. It's hurting you. Stop that. Stop that. Cease from anger. And when you do those three principles that David recommends here in Psalms 37 from the Word of God, evildoers have an expiration date. Remember that? Number two, keep busy enjoying God. And number three, don't blow your stack. Stay cool. When you do that, look at verse 11. But the meek, the word meek doesn't mean wimp. The word meek speaks of controlled strength. Meekness is not weakness. Meek is not a wimp. Meek is someone that's strong, has a lot of power and strength, but manages that, holds it back. But the meek shall inherit the earth. The word inherit there, it's not just like receive, like an inheritance, but it's possessing something and managing it. Because you can inherit something and stick it in the closet. You can inherit something, stick it in the vault. But inherit means not just receiving it, but working it or managing it. Managing it. But the meek, control strength, shall manage the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That verse 11, I've heard that verse before. Yeah, you did. Jesus said the same thing during the Sermon on the Mount when he gave the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:5. And Jesus said, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Remember that? Jesus was quoting the Psalms 37, verse 11. Hey, and Jesus was the perfect example of meekness, control, strength. He could have called 10,000 angels. When those Roman soldiers came up the hill, he could have called 10,000 angels. They would have stomped on them like ants. He could, but he chose not to. Because he loved you. Meekness. He's our perfect example. He showed that. There's a story as Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem with his disciples. And he sent the disciples, hey, go in advance to this Samaritan village and get a hotel room, set me up. And they went there to do the advance work, it's called. When Jesus arrived there, and Jesus, he found out that the village was saying, we don't want you staying here, Jesus. I mean, if you're coming here to stay and to worship here, we will let you stay. But you're going where? To Jerusalem to worship there? I mean, our temple is just as good as the Jerusalem temple. But the Bible says that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. He was not going to negotiate. And because they did not approve that Jesus was going to worship at Jerusalem and not their counterfeit temple, they said, you can't stay here. At that point, the sons of thunder, who are they? Who knows who the sons of thunder are? Quickly. John and James. John, James, and Peter. John and James, brothers. Jesus, Jesus! How dare they diss us? Jesus, give us permission to call fire from heaven, wrath, and fry them. And then according to the Bible, just like the spirit of Elijah, and God, and Jesus said to them, hey, I could handle this. You don't know what manner of spirit you're speaking. You're not being meek. You're being reactionary. You fall into the hands of the enemy. That's exactly what he wants, because if you fall into the hands of the enemy, then we'll get arrested, then we can't go to Jerusalem, and I have to keep the main thing main. Jesus demonstrated meekness, control, strength to inherit the earth. As I was reading this, the Lord showed me something. What's earth? What's earth? Dirt. Dirt. We deal with dirt. People, we're made out of dirt. We live on earth. It's made out of dirt. That verse says, those that are have controlled strength, discipline, surrender to God, the meek shall be able to manage the dirt thrown at them. We deal in a dirty world. We deal with dirt people, imperfect people. But you can manage them, not just inherit, manage and deal with it. Handle it, not let it handle you when you are meek. Control strength. Lord, I would kill them. I'll kill them. But Lord, help me not do my will, but help me do your will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Let me handle this dirt the way you want me to handle it, not the way I want. Because it's true. Sometimes we want to handle stuff thrown at us our way because it really feels good. If you want, sometimes you just want to hit somebody. You just want to hit them. And you know that after you hit them, you're going to feel good afterwards. You know, there's no remorse. Oh, some of you, come on, you're acting all sanctified. Lord, let me hit them. And I'm not going to feel bad afterwards. Give it a week. I'll cry. I'll repent. But man, it's going to be a good week. It's going to be catharsis. And sometimes God says, you need to die to that.
That's right.
Doing it your way that really makes you feel good. And doing it my way. That's called meekness. Doing it the way Christ would have done.
Amen.
Turn the other cheek. I ain't going to turn the other cheek. That's not my nature. That's the point. You don't go by your nature. Don't go in the flesh. Would you stand? But wait in the Lord. This morning, the Lord is speaking to us this morning, saying, hey, listen. You fretters, you fret, you worry. And then you start thinking, well, how should I handle it? How should I handle what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the Lord said, hey, listen, just wait a minute. I'll tell you what to do or I'll handle it. And you say, I don't know if I could do that, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm not as spiritual as David. And I ain't Jesus. And the Lord said, that's the point. You're not Jesus. You need to empty yourself of you. Empty yourself of you. And let Jesus fill you so that you become like Jesus. Not you responding to the stuff, but Christ in you responding. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to say no to us. Fretting is when we allow ourselves to take over. When we allow our own dirt, our own imperfection to dictate the actions. But the meek, those who are self-controlled, shall be able to manage and handle their own dirt, their own imperfection. Because you're letting the Holy Spirit direct you and use you and manage you. Surrender to Him. Bible says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding shall guard your heart and your mind. Remember that? Do not be anxious for anything. Stop fretting. When you fret, it means you need to pray more. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer. So fretting is proof. It's a symptom to tell you you need to pray more. It's always a symptom of you needing to pray more. Let me say this again. Worrying, fretting, it's a symptom. You need to pray more. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Always. And sometimes you need to pray maybe in a deeper form. My wife taught this in her Bible study a couple weeks ago. She gave an outline. Sometimes you have to pray and fast. Some things only come out through prayer and fasting. So there's certain anxieties and worries that you're dealing with, and you're praying, but it's like you're trying to lose a few more pounds, and you've been on a diet, it's not working. What do they tell you to do? Kick up your cardio, work out even more, and cut back even more. Sometimes what you have to do, if you're worrying about something, you're praying, and you're still stuck, you need to take it to a deeper level, and you fast. Fasting is not about losing weight. Fasting is about drawing closer to the Lord by denying yourself and pursuing Him. Worry, anxiety, fretting, sign you need to pray. Really bad fretting, prayer and fasting. You see that through the Bible. You see that in the New Testament. And the meek shall inherit, possess, manage dirt. For the glory of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning the Lord is saying to someone here today, hey, listen, I love you. That's what I'm telling you this morning. You've been fretting. You've been worrying. You've been focusing your telescope on the wrong thing, and you're stuck. You need to admit you're stuck, and the Holy Spirit will help you redirect your focus. But you have to put certain things in place. Stop focusing on how big the enemy is, how horrible he is. Enjoy God and don't lose your cool. Don't let the enemy press your buttons. Don't. Let my Holy Spirit take control of your life. You need to surrender to me. You need to let me have access to the control panel. And I'll do that. And if you let me do that and you're willing to die to self, I will help you manage dirt. First, yourself and the dirt around you. I will help you do that. I want you to be victorious. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Pastor Cortez, God has spoken to me this morning. I have been fretting. I have been worrying. I've been stuck in that like a hamster. And I want to be delivered from that. And I realize this. I have to surrender, and I have to choose to feed on God's faithfulness. And I'm making a choice, trusting the Lord with all my heart. I'm making a choice this morning to trust the Lord, because I've been trusting everything else but Him. And I'm tired of being tired. If that's you this morning, would you allow me to pray for you right where you are? Just raise your hand right where you are. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Now, what about this side? Yes. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. How many of you are facing a battle and you are getting ready to go toe-to-toe? And maybe this morning the Lord is saying, hold that thought. This is a battle I have to fight. Even as I was speaking, God told you, this battle I'll fight. Let me handle this one. And this morning God has told you that by the specific battle that you already ramp up to fight. And God has told you, let me fight this one. Is there anyone here? Anyone here? Yes. Yes. You can put your hands down. Before I close, is there anyone here you're saying, hey, Pastor Cortez, I'm just not right with God. I'm not. I know I should, but I'm not. I need to surrender me. Not my issue. I need to surrender me. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And you want to surrender yourself to Him. Is there anyone here this morning? Would you raise your hand? Hallelujah. Father, this morning we have allow the word of God, Psalms 37, speak to us, not just encourage us, but instruct us how to live a victorious life in you. Though you have aim all guns on this scripture, Lord, you had Pastor Matt read the scripture without comparing notes with Pastor Cortez. For the offering, Father, only you can orchestrate something like that. But Father, I pray that the truth that you were highlighting this morning about not fretting, Lord, I pray that we may acknowledge it and put in place the disciplines for us not to become like a hamster in a hamster wheel and just going around in circles and going nowhere and going nowhere fast and burning out at that. Father, that's not your will. Your will is for us to go places from glory to glory. You don't go from glory to glory in a hamster wheel. But your will is for us to go from glory to glory as we follow you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I pray that will be the truth that we not just clap and celebrate, but we live out. Lord, I pray that we may learn from David that he was a worshiper first. Then he was a warrior. He kept that, those priorities as such, and you use him mightily. I pray that we'll be able to handle dirt through the work of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and the church said, praise the Lord, amen. Clap, give the Lord a clap offering. God bless you. Love one another. We'll see you Wednesday night. Amen.